I've titled this morning's conversation, devotion, or sermon simply with a word of advice. And I believe that comes all the way from the throne of God. This week I had the opportunity to speak to some people. As we always do, we have the opportunity to share Christ to many and open conversations as such. And I find that in my conversations with people that I don't know at times, we speak a lot about the present life and we show little regard about what happens after we're gone from this world. So I believe that that's the main focus today. And it can be a dangerous thing, because if you and I know the Word of God, we know that this world is for a season, this life that we live is for a season. And that the life that we should be concerned about is what happens in the afterlife. Amen? What happens when we finish our work here? I've titled this message simply, Consider the End. Say it with me, Consider the End. That is something I believe that we should always have present in our lives. Simply because we never know the hour or the day when the end will come. Either it comes to us physically, or Jesus will return for his church, believe it or not. I was remembering as I was writing this week for us all, and how I gave you testimony. For those of you who are here, I spoke to you about a particular interview with a couple of men that were executed here in Texas a few years ago. Young men, 25, 30 year old. Their crime was obviously so horrendous that the courts condemned them to death. They gave them the death sentence, the death penalty. And so before they were executed, there were people protesting and complaining, while others were celebrating the fact that that day will come, obviously on the side of the victims. But it was a gruesome situation, and they took these young, good-looking men, and it intrigued me to find out as I saw the commercial that it would be coming on. I made time to sit down and watch this documentary, and some of you may remember I spoke about this, again, several years ago. But as they were talking to them, the commentator or the anchor, if you will, that was questioning and talking to them, opened with regular conversation, name and where are you from, what city, where were you born, parents, schooling, all these experiences of his life. And finally getting to the point of why they were there in prison. And they talked about that. And of course, it was a difficult thing to hear them speak about remorse of what they did and everything else. And in their closing of each interview, both of them, they weren't at the same time, but I say the both because they had similar endings. They said, what would you say to the remaining world? Obviously knowing that in the next couple of weeks they both would die. What would you say to those? We have millions of people over the world watching us, hearing us by radio and watching us over television, watching this interview, watching you. If you could speak to them today, what would you say to them? And they said what would be obvious, and many times is obvious with anybody, is that obviously think before you sin. Think before you commit this crime, because you'll be stuck like I am here in this prison getting ready to pay the highest price for the penalty of my error. And so to the young people, I would say to you, stay in school and behave yourself and don't get in fights and certainly don't get a hold of a weapon where you will commit something that you won't be able to take back, and here you are like me. And so the word of advice was good. Obviously, someone telling you, learn from me. You want to be in prison and possibly get sentenced to die like I am in the next couple of weeks, then think before you do what you do. And the next guy that they interviewed, another 30 minutes or so, they started the same conversation. In the end, in closing, they also asked him, what would you say? And in similar fashion to the first guy he said the same thing. Well, listen, I'm remorseful about what I did, but I would say that everybody that's listening to me, don't do what I did. And so it was a normal word and an obviously well-wished word of advice for everybody. Now, let me go to another illustration that I also gave to you a few years ago, and for don't know how long, but I spoke to you about a preacher who one day had a discourse with a young person who had trouble believing or considering what the end would bring for his life. And this was a well-studied young man. Obviously, he looked well in the eyes of the pastor, and he was put together well. And the pastor opened up by asking him, "What are your plans in your life?" And the young man pointedly said, "Well, I plan to finish my studies with good grades and get my degree in this particular field." He said, "Well, that's very good for you. I applaud you for that. That's a good plan. What about after that?" He said, "Well, after that, I plan to start my business, take forth my profession, embrace it, and make a good living. Open my business and be my own man, establish myself, and do what I studied to do here in this university." "Well, that's a good plan. That's a great thing for you. So what about after that?" And he said, "Well, after that, now that I've settled in my business, I plan to find myself a girl, and hopefully we're met for each other, and we'll start a marriage together and end up with a family and do well together in our home and live happily." So, "Well, I applaud you. That's great. That's wonderful thinking and certainly a good plan." He said, "What after that?" He was, "Well, after years, and of course, kids off to college and everybody has grown up, well, I would say that I would probably retire now, and hopefully my wife and I can travel to see all those places that we dreamed about going to go see, maybe see the world a little bit with what we have." He goes, "Wow, that's awesome. The world, there's some beautiful places in this world that I'm sure a lot of people."